Peace be with all of you. Now today we come to the last chapter of the book of John. And last week we talked about the conclusion in the book of John 20. And John mentioned the purpose of him writing the book of John. And he recorded all these things so that we can know that Jesus is the Christ and he is the Son of God. And when you believe in Him, you will have life in His name. And after this conclusion, later we realize there's one more chapter. And so, John chapter 21, the last chapter in the book of John, John brought us to another emphasis. And so this week, as I am reading John 21, I discovered that in the summary of the book of John, what the Lord cares most about is His relationship with us. So when you read John chapter 21, you will see that our Lord Jesus personally came to strengthen the disciples, and especially He strengthened Apostle Peter. So maybe we will use 3 weeks to share chapter 21 of John. The Lord came to seek for His disciples, and our Lord especially came to strengthen Apostle Peter. Now, Apostle Peter is a very important character. He's not just the leader of the whole band of apostles, but he also played a very important role in building the early church. And we know that on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon him and filled him, and he rose up to preach. And what happened then? When he preached boldly by the Holy Spirit that day, 3,000 people believed, they repented and came to the Lord. And we know this was what Apostle Peter did. But yet, we also know from the record of the four Gospels that Peter was someone very weak. The moment we thought of Peter, we would think that, oh, this person has a very rash character, very impulsive. And sometimes he's self-righteous. He also thinks too highly of himself. And we know that during the Last Supper, he claimed before the Lord that, Lord, even if everyone deserted or if everyone stumbled because of you, I will never fall away. And when he said that, very soon we know that that night itself, when the Lord was arrested and before the rooster crows, he denied Christ 3 times. And all this were recorded in all the four Gospels. And so how do we know Peter? So we think that he overestimated himself. He was a bit of a self-righteous. But you must remember, especially when you read the four Gospels, you must know that Peter, his love for the Lord is real. He's not a hypocritical person who only likes to boast before the disciples. When he said that, Lord, I'm willing to die with you, is that true or false? By human nature, it is real. He's sincere. He truly deemed and considered Jesus as his best friend, and he's willing to die together and for Jesus. And when Peter said this, he is not hypocritical, but what we know is because our human nature are all weak, so our human love is also weak. And because of this, although we really want to genuinely and passionately love, we deeply love the Lord, but we surely cannot withstand the threats and fears inflicted by our enemy, Satan. And we cannot overcome the oppression of the world. And so when the threats from the enemies come, our love for the Lord will reduce. So therefore, I believe that all of us here we love the Lord, but you must know that because of your weak human nature, your love is not enough. So your love needs the help of the Holy Spirit. Let me say again, your love needs the sustaining and help of the Holy Spirit. Then your love can be powerful. Then in all kinds of tribulations, you will not fall in your love, but you can even bring out a more beautiful testimony. So it's not that we can love God, but it is God who first loved us. So today we come to the church of God, we worship Him, we look to Him, we rely on Him. All this is because God first take the first initiative. There is the help of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit fills you and helps you, then this love can become the gospel that your mouth preaches. And you can use this word to strengthen people around you, and you can sacrifice for people around you and deny yourself. And then you say, Pastor, how can we receive the help of the Holy Spirit? We know that when the Holy Spirit filled the disciples, they do things beyond what they imagine. So how can we receive the help of the Holy Spirit? Now, before the Holy Spirit came upon us, or before the help of the Holy Spirit comes, what happened first is Lord Jesus, His own strengthening. He will personally strengthen the disciples, affirm them, comfort them, and make them strong. So if Jesus has not appeared and find the disciples personally in the 40 days after His resurrection and bring them to His heart and let them see how He loves them and promise them, send them, without Him personally doing that and finding His disciples, then there will not be a good and effective outcome. So your understanding toward God and your strengthening received from Him, then you will receive the power of the Holy Spirit. So in John chapter 21, it actually wants to talk about Peter. Now, if you always hear my messages, you know that I really love Peter, this character. Because this Peter reflects the life of someone who loves the Lord. First of all, we are blessed and we love the Lord, and the Lord will not abandon us. Even when the Lord knows that Peter is about to deny Him, the Lord prayed for Peter so that he will not lose his faith. But Peter was also very weak, just like us. None of us here can say, I'm not like Peter. Can you be so strong? And third, God's persevering love is on Peter. Even though Peter was weak, the Lord never left him. And He came to seek for Peter at Peter's weakest moment. So in this final chapter in the book of John, we are going back to our relationship with God. So when we genuinely love the Lord, then we can bring out the effect of our serving. So on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit comes upon the apostles, Peter did wonderful things. So perhaps in future, when I talk about the book of Acts, I will talk more about the Holy Spirit. So now we are at this book of John. You must know that the feeling of the Holy Spirit is not like we leave our body and we are in a trance and we suddenly have some magical powers and we can perform certain miracles. It's not that. From the accounts of the four Gospels, all the way to the account of the feeling of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, then you understand what is meant by the Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit, being filled by the Holy Spirit is you know God in your mind. Our Lord Jesus spent time 3.5 years with His disciples so that they can see Him clearly and hear His teachings, so that with their mind they can know this Lord. And second, such that after they know the Lord, they can love the Lord in their heart with their feelings. So we humans, we not just have the mind, we also have the feelings. We love this and hate that. So we love the Lord. And the love for God will keep growing in our sentiments and emotions. And we know we can love the Lord so that our will is able to follow the Lord. Lord, wherever you go, I want to go. Whatever you do, I also want to do. So in your will, you want to follow the Lord. So we can have very strong will and we want what we want. But human will can be weak. But when the Holy Spirit fills you and you know the Lord, you love the Lord, then you will follow the Lord. And that is called the filling, being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, before the filling of the Holy Spirit, just now I kept emphasizing that what happens first is the Lord took the initiative to seek out His disciples. It's not because you are able, but the Lord do it first. Now, so today, Jesus came to the seaside to seek for His disciples who have gone back to fishing. And so they have been laboring the whole night and they couldn't catch any fish. So let's take a look at John chapter 21. So if you have read this chapter before coming, you'll be better. Now, chapter 21. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to His disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. So where is the Sea of Tiberias? If you look at the map, it refers to the Sea of Galilee. And that was also the place where Jesus first caught Peter and a few other disciples. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus called Peter to ask him to follow Him, and He told Peter, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." So in this Sea of Galilee, Jesus had a lot of encounters with the disciples. That's the place where He caught them. And also, they also took the boat and they've gone through the storm. All this happened in the Sea of Galilee. So there's a lot of stories between the Lord and the disciples at the Sea of Galilee. So a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we saw Jesus appearing to the disciples and then to Thomas. And so that happened in Jerusalem. So today's account talks about the disciples had already moved from Jerusalem and went back to Galilee. So Jerusalem is at the south. Judea, Jerusalem is at the south. And then Galilee is in the north. So from Jerusalem, they went back to Galilee. So it's about 140 kilometers. So you need to take 4 days by foot to reach it. And then why did the disciples go back to Galilee? We know that during the Last Supper, the Lord told the disciples that after I resurrected, I will first go to Galilee. You will meet me there. And the angels also told the women, go and tell the brothers, the Lord will go to Galilee to meet His disciples. So the disciples knew they have to go to Galilee. So we know that about 90% of the Lord's ministries is at Galilee. So Jesus is considered a Nazarene, but also a Galilean. So now Jesus was resurrected, and after resurrecting, how long later will He ascend to heaven? After 40 days? So He appeared 1 week after His resurrection, and after that, He went to Galilee, and disciples all went there, and Jesus appeared to even more people at Galilee, and He taught them there. Galilee was the place where Jesus performed the most miracles, and He also taught many disciples there in Galilee. Most of the time He spent in Galilee. Now He went back to that place. So now he went back to Galilee and spent a few weeks teaching them and appearing to the disciples. The Bible didn't record too much of this, but we know that 40 days is a very long time. And after that, Jesus ascended to heaven from where? So Jesus ascended to heaven from the Mount Olives. And Mount Olives is near to Jerusalem. So surely, he appeared many times at Galilee to 500 people. And after that, he went back again to somewhere near Jerusalem at Mount Olives. And Lord Jesus once again affirmed the disciples and commissioned them and gave them the Great Commission. And then he ascended. And so as the disciples were looking on, the angels appeared and said, "What are you looking at? How the Lord rises, he will also come back again." So what happens? Verse 2. Simon Peter, so when they went fishing, now, Simon Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, so the sons of Zebedee are James and John, and two other disciples were together. So how many in all? Seven of them. So Simon Peter was the first mentioned. So he's always the leader. So two other disciples were also mentioned. They were not named. And I believe that when Apostle John recorded this, he deliberately not mentioned the names of these two disciples in order to tell us that those who are blessed and love the Lord, even though they are unnamed, the Lord will remember them. The Lord will remember their love, even though they are unnamed. And verse 3, "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Now, we do not know why Peter was going to fish at this moment. Now, some pastors mentioned that, you see, he failed as disciples and he go back to his old trade. Like some people, they serve the Lord and they fail and they go back to work in the secular world. And so some pastors, and there are also other pastors who mentioned that there's nothing wrong with this, because you have to know that in the past, when the disciples served with the Lord Jesus, that's like that they are like full-timers, and following the Lord is like their livelihood. And they also maybe receive offering. And now when Jesus was crucified, the ministry was disbanded. And so in order to live and survive, they need practical livelihood. So they need to go back to fish. But no matter what is their attitude, we know that the Lord didn't allow them to succeed in fishing. So they labored the whole night and they caught nothing. And we ask why. Why did the Lord not give them success? So I received two reasons as I read. First, now if the Lord called a person to serve Him and asked the person to preach His word and shepherd His sheep, this is the most glorious work. The Lord will not allow him to go back to the world's work just in order to survive. Now, if a person has been enlightened by the Lord and saw clearly the value of the gospel, then his time, his gifts, and his whole life is so precious. But sometimes, when we are weak and when we fail, we cannot see this. So, the problem with us who serve the Lord is not about our gifts or competencies or our money, which is not enough, but our problem is our discouragement. For example, when we lead cell group or when we serve people, then we got discouraged. But dear brothers and sisters, You must know who is the one who called you. Even though people may say you have not done well, but you must remember who is the one who calls you, who is the one who enlightens you, so that you know this gospel and can preach this gospel. So you must know. So in God will not let you, such a glorious vessel, to go back to the world's job just for the sake of 3 bowls of rice. And the second reason, the Lord knows they will fail, but he still allowed them to go and fish. And this tells us that the Lord wants to appear to the disciples when they fail. The Lord wants the disciples who will serve Him in future to see that the Lord is the provider for all things. He's the Lord who sends us, and He's also the Lord who provides for us. So those of us who serve the Lord, many a times we are only looking at current situation. We only look at how much we have in our hands, and then we are affected by situation. Not long ago, a couple came to look for me, and they are now in the English service. They belonged to a church, and that church got dissolved. And then they are a very small church, only 10 of them. And so they were asked to look for their own church. So this couple, they feel sad because they were cell group leaders themselves. And under their church, there are people who first believe, there are people who are new believers. So they felt very upset because it's as if the church is like a company and you just say it's dissolved, means it's dissolved. But human life, they are eternal life, and you refuse to shepherd them and you ask this kind of life to go back to the world. So this couple, they felt very sad, and so they spoke to me. So I saw that they have a heart of shepherd. So I told them, do not be discouraged. You must know that your love for the sheep comes from the Lord. The Lord loves His sheep more than you. So if you love your sheep, you must know how to feed them. You must use the Word of God to feed them. And so you need to have a good understanding of the gospel, equip yourself, and then you can feed the sheep. So you yourself must attend church. And through you and your prayers, your love, and your understanding toward the Lord will use you to bless the sheep. And so this couple has been attending our English service, and every time they hear the message, they receive comfort and strengthening once again. So the problems in the church is people who shouldn't be pastors, they end up being pastors, but those who should be pastors, they were not pastors. So those who don't love the sheep, they're just hired. They're just hired as hired persons, but they don't really love the sheep, and the sheep don't receive care. And such a person don't understand things of the human spirit, so they just apply some psychology and human methods. But they lack the love from God for their sheep. So they just treat it as a job. So people who shouldn't be pastors end up being pastors, and the sheep of the Lord end up not being taken care of. And those who should be pastors, they end up being in discouragement. And so every time when I preach, when pastors preach, I'm calling out to you, it's as if the Lord is calling out to you and affirming you and strengthening you. So this is the state of the disciples. And then verse 10. Verse 4. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Why did they not know? Maybe because it's still dark. And maybe about 90 meters, 100 meters from the shore, they couldn't see clearly. So then he called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. Maybe they thought this is someone who wants to buy fish from them. So they have not caught anything the entire night. And then verse 6, he said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." So the Lord's words are so sure. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Maybe at that moment, they felt very, very familiar. Because if you recall how Jesus caught Peter, the same thing happened. So from verses 4 to 6, you can see that when the disciples were fishing, how the Lord personally guided them. Sometimes we thought that Jesus only cares about our church ministries. Actually not so. The Lord cares about everything concerning us. Whether it's our secular job or we need to raise our children, God cares about all these things, and in all these things, the Lord has been guiding us. The Lord not just wants to make us successful, but God wants to reveal His guidance, and in this process, He wants us to follow Him and clearly see His help. So simply put, now if we have no faith in the Lord, that's because you have seen the guidance of the Lord rarely. Now let's look at how the Lord guided the disciples. The Lord came to find the disciples in their failures. They struggled through their whole night to try to catch a fish, but they couldn't catch anything. And usually in such a circumstance, we feel very frustrated. And then we get impulsive. You can just imagine, you know, Peter and John, they may feel very frustrated. Why is it that we cannot get anything? Human nature is like this. But the Lord will not abandon us when we are like this. Instead, at this moment, the Lord drew near to the disciples in their failure. And then also, how is the Lord's guidance? Many a times the Lord led the disciples without them realizing it. So suddenly a person appeared and gave them this instruction, and they do and they follow suit. And usually we humans, we are like this. When we are successful, we don't take in counsel and advice because we are very self-confident, and we say that we will not change our methods because our methods succeeded. The way we raise our children, the way we take care of our health, the way we do business. But only one thing. Frankly speaking, we do not understand the guidance of God. We do not have the spiritual eyes and sense to know how the Lord is guiding us. So now, in their failures, the Lord drew near to them to guide them. Second, without them realizing, the Lord guided them. So many a times, the Lord has been guiding us in the details of our life. And then also, we easily will ask. Now, when we see there's so many fish being caught, we will ask, what is the strategy, what's the technique to achieve this? But what the Lord showed us is, in fact, the Lord is with you and continuously guiding you, just that you couldn't see. It's not about at night there's no fish, only morning then there's fish. It's not that there's no fish on the left but only fish on the right. Now many people are curious, why is it that when you throw the net on the right side then you will find the fish? Now if you ask, how can the fishermen not understand or not know the techniques of fishing? For their whole life they've been fishing. They are the experts in fishing, so they know all the fishing techniques. Now, our human problem is many a times we have techniques, but we forget the Lord. After we have the techniques, we do not seek the guidance of the Lord. And that's our human pride. Now, when we want to find a job, we go for interviews, and we go with our qualifications, and we depend on them. And we treat all those things as our techniques. But we do not have a heart that is dependent on the Lord. And sometimes when we cannot manage our children, we will ask, what are certain techniques to train up our children? We must understand the psychology of child. And all these things, it's not that we do not know all these things. It's not as if we don't read all these things. Now, certain parents, before they give birth to their children, they have read books and books on this. Now, Pastor is not rebuking young parents, but if you only read a lot of books on child education, but if you do not know Lord, it's all pointless. You know how to carry your children, how to feed them. Now, you just realize it applies, it's okay for other children, but your children is not okay. Sometimes you use the same technique to counsel other children, they will listen, but it doesn't apply to your own children. Now, if you have ever heard, tuition teachers have to give their children to other tutors to teach because they listen to other tutors but not to their own parents. So we humans, we have this barrier. We always like to depend on a way, a method, a technique, but we believers, we need the Lord to personally guide us. Not long ago, a sister, she wrote to me saying, Pastor, I don't know whether to laugh or to cry. My child is 17 years old, so I couldn't manage him. Disobedient, play truant, smoke. He did a lot of bad things and he just refused to listen to me. What can I do? If I scold him, he become angry and he all the more do not listen. If I don't scold him, then he just remain in this state. So she said, Pastor, I've always listened to your message. You are full of wisdom. Please tell me what to do with my child. So I told her, Sister, I certainly cannot tell you how to speak to your child, but I can give you some firm principles. But you must know that every time you live with your child, you observe his many bad habits, and he also committed wrong. In your heart, you need to rely on the Lord. And when you are depending on the Lord, you must see how the Holy Spirit guide you, and then you speak to your child. Then every word you speak will enter his heart. Pastor cannot tell you exactly how you can talk to your child. I can give you the principles of righteousness and love and to form a relationship with your child. You cannot scold him till he leaves home. I can tell you all these things, but sometimes you also have to rebuke him. But exactly when to love and when to rebuke, it's very hard to judge and discern. And that is where we need the Holy Spirit's guidance. So if a parent is not used to depending on the Lord, and if the parent only reacts to the situation and get anxious according to the situation and get happy when the situation is good and vice versa, such a parent will not understand what is the guidance of God. And the eyes of the parent's spirit will not know how to look to God. So the Lord is now guiding the disciples in such an amazing way without them realizing it. So in their frustrations and lack, the Lord came to guide them. So all these testimonies are very important. Now verse 8. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, and this is referring to John. So the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, It is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. So they had been laboring and sweating, and so he only wearing his inner garment. And so now he put on his outer garment. He wants to rush to meet the Lord. In verse 8, the other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. So we know that the boat is about 90 meters away from the shore. And John realized that it must be the Lord after they caught a full net of fish. And Peter didn't, without a word, Peter just jumped into the water. So how do you explain this? Because the Bible didn't mention a lot of things, but how do we explain this? This person, you know, he's always resurfaced again. But I saw Peter's devotion to the Lord. John was the first to recognize the Lord. But Peter had a deeper or greater devotion to the Lord. So next week we will see. Jesus asked Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" So it's a very touching scene. So you will feel Peter was a very impulsive, crude man without much education, but he loved the Lord so directly. And then, verse 9, when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. So what do we see? Jesus didn't wait for their net of fish to come. So maybe we thought the disciples would say, "Oh, we caught a lot of fish, now we can barbecue." But the Lord already prepared everything. Sometimes we thought that we have a lot of needs, so we work very hard. But in fact, the Lord has already prepared what we need for us. What you have earned is just adding on. So when the holiday came, my children went and earned some money. You know, they earned some few hundred bucks and they thought they've earned the whole world. So the few hundred years, the few hundred bucks will be gone in a short while, and then they still have to go back to depend on the pocket money received from the parents. Sometimes before the Lord, we are also very childish. You know, how much money we have in the bank. Some people, when they want to serve the Lord, and then they will think that I need to have some financial stability. I need to have buy two houses to collect rent. Then I feel very safe. Actually, we do not understand. Many things that we have on earth is just adding on to what God has prepared. When God called you to serve Him, God already prepared everything. So here, the Lord let the disciples see that it's all the Lord's gracious hand that enabled them to catch a full net of fish. So many is for them to see the guidance of the Lord and to see that the Lord has already prepared. Then verse 10, now, Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught," even though He has already prepared the fish and bread. So this is amazing. He already prepared. Why did He ask for their fish? Meaning to say, they should enjoy the fruit of their labor together. Sometimes when we do the work of God, the Lord asks us to preach and shepherd, to take care of the Lord's sheep painstakingly. In fact, who is the one who called you? Who is the one who sent you? Who speaks through you? All this is the Lord. And through what you speak, God also edify and strengthen those people, those sheep under you. Everything is the work of the Lord. So if the Lord does everything, what did the Lord still ask us to do? Lord, you just perform a magic, everything will be done. But as you labor, the one who fulfills everything is the Lord. But in your labor for the Lord, God wants you to participate in His glory so that eventually you can also enjoy the fruit of your labor. That's how the Lord guides us. And amazingly, this entire account is very God-driven. it talks about God taking the initiative. God took the initiative to look for the disciples in their failure. God called out to them, "Do you have any fish?" And the Lord guided them, you know, throw the net on the right side. And then, come, you know, Jesus asked them to come. And then when they came to the shore, Jesus already prepared the fish and the bread. And then the Lord also told them to bring the fish that they caught and strengthen them, and so that they can share in the fruit of their labor. In fact, everything, the Lord is strengthening their heart. So when you read the Bible, this is the word of life. Do not just read the theology, but you must read the life of it. Read the relationship of the Lord. The Lord's preaching, the Lord's word, the Lord's action. You need to sieve out the message out of those things and confirm in your life. Then you realize each of us, we have a story with the Lord. Because if you didn't think about it, then this is just a record. But if you think about this, you realize that you are within this scene. And then verse 10, the Lord says, "Bring some of the fish which you have caught." And verse 11, Simon Peter climbed abroad and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. So Peter was quite strong. But even with so many, the net was not torn. So they even record the number of fish specifically, 153. So do not anyhow read commentaries. Some mystical commentators or pastors, they just try to understand 153 means what? 151 represents, 100 refers to Gentiles, 50 refers to Israelites, and 3 refers to Trinity. So this is all messy interpretation. You must read such interpretation lesser, because all this is from the new apostolic movement. They are like giving prophecy, and so such pastors, you know, I just when I read this, I just switch it off. Sometimes I listen in order to know how creative they are. So when we read the Bible, there's a certain logic. Why did John record 153? John was a fisherman. He has been fishing for his whole life, but he never caught so many. Now, if you've been earning money and you never earn so much, you of course you will count. So he counted 153 fish. So when he was old and he recorded the book of John, he still remembered what the Lord had did among them. And so he recorded this. And so 153 fish. So even though with so many fish, the net was not torn. And so that tells us what you receive from the Lord, you'll be able to keep. But if you don't receive from the Lord, the net will be torn and the fish will be gone. So the money which you earn by the Lord, you can keep the money. But if you gain the money from gambling and from ungodly ways, it will be gone. So what the Lord has given us, you will be able to keep it. As I lead the church, I always tell my co-workers, and in my mission trips, I have been teaching Christians, especially I know that church leaders, they always be tempted. When people come, they'll be very happy. And when church number grows, you'll be happy. But actually, you need to depend on the Lord to preach, and the sheep that you receive from the Lord will make them stay, and it will be the joy of everyone and the joy of the Lord. But if you do not depend on the Lord, but you use worldly methods and bring people into the church, you realize that those whom you bring into the church, you cannot keep them. And some of them will cause division, and everyone will receive hurts here and there. So there's a mystery being revealed to us. What the Lord has given you, you'll be able to keep. But what the Lord has not given you, but you try to gain by human methods, you cannot retain those things. And then verse 12, the Lord says, Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." come. Now, this is an invitation. So when he first called the disciples, if you look at the Gospels, Jesus would tell them, come and see. You come to me and you will find rest. Come and follow me. And now when they are hungry, Jesus told them, come and have breakfast. So the Lord's words is all about inviting them to come. Come and inherit the kingdom that I have prepared for you. So in our misery, we are still in our misery. Why? Because we have not come to the Lord. Sometimes in our struggles, we keep seeking humans and methods to find liberation. But the Lord told us, come. So come meaning to say, come wanting to obey the Lord, and you will be able to see the Lord's guidance. And verse 12, none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. So now this is also amazing. So from here, you know, that the disciples do not really recognize the resurrected appearance of Jesus. So there's slight difference between the resurrected Lord and how Jesus was before the resurrection. So they approach the Lord with a kind of fear and awe. So they have this fearful awe when they are with this risen Lord. So they dare not ask him. So maybe in future when we see each other in our resurrected form, maybe we will find each other slightly different. But our mannerism, our belief will make us recognize who we are in future. So these are things we see with our spiritual eyes. So everyone knew it was the Lord. Only the Lord will prepare like this for them and speak to them like this. But none of them dared to ask him because they knew it was the Lord in their heart. Verse 13. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. So this is very intimate actions, like washing their feet and now providing them with what they most needed, the bread and the fish. And this was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. First time, he appeared to the 10 disciples without Thomas. 8 days later, he appeared to the whole disciples again with the presence of Thomas, and this is the third time. Of course, the Lord also appeared many, many other times, but in the heart of the old age John, these three times left the greatest impression on him. And so he recorded this in the book of John. Now, I will do a very simple summary. From today's record, what do you see? You see that the Lord is most concerned about his relationship with us. Those whom he wants to use, he will personally strengthen them. And it's not many of them, but these few people, God will make them see what he had prepared for them. Sometimes the Lord didn't lead us. Sometimes God doesn't appear to us when we are doing spectacular ministries, but when we are helpless and anxious, the Lord appeared to us. So those who serve the Lord must personally see the Lord strengthen and comforting them. Some people ask me, how can I come so far in serving the Lord for 17 years? Now, in many times during the hardship, the Lord has already provided for me. The thing is whether I've seen it. Now, humans need to see it. If the Lord prepares, but you didn't see, then you have no relationship with him. But as the Lord guides us step by step, and you know, in terms of finances, how to teach the children, how to manage the family, how to manage the demands of the ministries, and how to shepherd, and step by step, the Lord guides us. Sometimes it seems as if we have done wrongly or make some mistakes. Some people, they were wounded, but once again, the Lord comforts and strengthens me again. So amazingly, in this process, the Lord forms a relationship which makes me trust Him. So, our relationship with God is not just a relationship concerning ministry. You come to church and you just want to serve. This is not a life church, because life church is centered on relationship. We and the Lord begins on relationship, not on ministries. So if you are clear on this, then if you are a pastor or cell group leader or a lay person, then you realize you and the person beside you, what's most important is relationship. So when you shepherd another person, it's also about relationship. It's not just about, come, I pray for you, I lay hand on you. If you look at how pastor shepherd brethren, I want to know what you think in your heart, what you worry about, the things in your family, and your worries for your family and your children. And as I get to know more, I want to know each of you, your difficulties, your life, and shepherd. This is the shepherding work that the Lord gave us. Now, why Jesus don't just call everyone here and say, oh, you know, hey, I'm resurrected, you go and preach the gospel to the ends of the world? Why did God has to so meticulously appear to a few disciples here and there personally? So all these records are very important, because God wants to have a relationship with each of us. And now this week we read about Jesus appearing to 7 disciples, and next week Jesus sieved out Peter and spoke to him personally to strengthen him deeply, so that he came out from his past failures of his 3 times denial of the Lord, so that he came out from his feelings of defeated, feelings of defeat, and so that he can be a useful and great apostle for the Lord. So now, when they are at their hungriest, the Lord prepared for them and feed them in terms of their physical hunger, but we know that our true hunger will be satisfied only when we receive the mission and the relationship with God, the heart of God, the heart to save soul and to shepherd people. When you receive that heart, then you will be truly satisfied. How much can you eat on earth? How much can you earn on earth? Up to a point, your happiness index will not grow any further. It will stop there. So we as parents, sometimes we see our children, they excel in their studies, they found good job and they're successful, and we feel happy for them, but up to a point it's just like this. They have their own life. Now my children are not that stage yet, but sometimes I feel, okay, they are sensible, okay, they have grown up, and then that's their life. And then what about me? And what about me before the Lord? How can I follow the Lord throughout my life? How can I face Him? Eventually, you still have to think about this. Have you realized? So, we clearly know that humans are created to follow the Lord. So, next week, we will hear the Lord told Peter, come and follow me. May the Lord strengthen you with today's message and comfort each and every one of us, so that none of us will remain in discouragement or a sense of defeat. And after hearing this word, we ourselves will reflect that many a times the Lord has also came to look for me and to strengthen and comfort me. Amen. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you. What you are most concerned about is our relationship with you. Nothing can surpass such a relationship because of the heart of love you have for us. So you keep us to the very end, so that today we have the assurance to stand before you, no matter what kind of difficulties or failures or misery we have, we can bring all this before you. And we know that, Lord, you certainly will help us and guide us. So Lord, we pray that you strengthen each of us as we listen to today's sermon. We can produce a deep love to depend on you, to love you. Lord, please support everyone And Lord, we also thank you that in this pandemic, you allow this group of brethren to come into your sanctuary with a thirsting heart. May every word from your servant be imprinted on our hearts so that we keep them in our hearts. And the Holy Spirit will always remind us of the word which we store in our heart so that we find strength and help and conviction from your word. Lord, we thank you and we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.